and ask John Hoffman to step forward and give us a report on congressional issues, promptly followed by discussion of state legislative update and any discussions thereabout. John?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am going to go over three different areas of concerns for y'all. The first, I'll touch on the election, what we know about what we're going to see here in the next 9 months on that front, school finance and special session news, and kind of state legislative news, and then we'll do some congressional issue stuff. And I'm going to go at a pretty good clip on this because I've been here a long time. If you have something in particular that you want to ask questions about, please stop me and we'll go into some more detail. I would like to add that during our congressional part of our update, a consultant from Washington, Glenn Lemunyan, who's worked for us since 2001, will be briefing you a little bit on what's going on up there with leadership races and some of the political machinery works up there, and I know that will be a real good opportunity for you all to get to see him. On the election side of things, I think the thing possibly that's most noteworthy is the absence of a lot of hotly contested races. There was a lot of talk, particularly on the state side, that you were going to see a lot of turnover, a lot of voluntary turnover and involuntary turnover because of the school finance issue and kind of a hangover from redistricting. That has not been the case. On the congressional side, there's three younger Republicans that have primary opponents, Sam Johnson, Ron Paul. At the state level, on the Senate side, there's two incumbents that have primary opponents. One of those is Senator Frank Nadler, who actually has a House member from the area, and that's going to be a pretty bitter race. And at stake is a position that, while Senator Nadler is a Democrat, he votes quite a bit with the conservative side of a lot of issues, and so he's been targeted by the folks on the Democratic Party side to try to have him removed because he votes with the Republicans so often. On the Republican side of things, Duell from Greenville, who's an orthopedic surgeon, Senator Bob Duell is a doctor, is going to have a primary opponent as well. The most interesting issue for us, though, in the state is going to be the retirement of Senator Ken Armbruster. Mm-hmm. Armbruster has been chair of the Senate Natural Resources Committee since Buster Brown quit. He is arguably one of the most knowledgeable people on water issues in the Capitol. From a holistic standpoint, he understands a little bit about groundwater, a little bit about surface water, about planning, how all of this stuff fits together. He also has a broad environmental background. So this is really a key spot for us, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens when we get into session next session, because I don't think his successor will be named until they come into the legislative session. There are three leading candidates being discussed right now from different parts of the state. Mike Jackson from down in the Houston area is one of them. Then there's Eddie Lucio from down in the Valley that's another one. And then closer to Waco, Kip Averett, Senator Kip Averett from Waco, is also being discussed as potentially one of the folks that might chair that committee. There's a lot of different factors that weigh into each one of those men as assuming that role, with positives and negatives from the perspectives of different interest groups. So there's really no clear cut. There's really no clear cut leader right now. But as we get closer to the time, if the rumor mill starts really ginning, I'll try to report back to y'all what I'm hearing. But as of right now, all we know is that Armbruster's not coming back, and those three names are the ones that are talked about most often as being the likely person to replace him. On the House side, it's really interesting. They really thought there would be a bloodbath on the House side, and in the end, only 13 people are not coming back of their own accord on the House side. And almost all of those are retirements. There are a couple that are moving up to run in an open Senate slot. Senator John Lindsey from Houston is retiring, and there's two House members that are both committee chairmen that have effectively decided not to come back on the House side for a chance to try to run on the Senate side for that slot. So it's an interesting process. Let's talk about school finance for just a second. That's the hottest public policy issue at play right now, is education finance and education reform. The biggest news, aside from the election stuff has been that Governor Perry named a task force chaired by one of his old primary opponents, but a fellow Aggie, John Sharp, former Comptroller of Public Accounts. It's a big group of folks with a diverse business background that's taken a look at the different ways to fund education in the state of Texas. They have been charged with reporting to the legislature sometime in the first part of March. My guess is that that report will take place sometime after the primary elections are held. The five guiding principles that were given to that group are relatively broad. That is that whatever the new tax system would be fair, modern, broad-based, easy to understand, and competitive with other states. You'll notice I did not say revenue neutral. It's implied in a lot of the discussion that it would be revenue neutral and that there wouldn't be an infusion of new dollars for the education system. That is a major point of debate within the state right now. The other major point within the state of debate is the issue of including education reform with school finance. The Sharp group is only going to be looking at school finance. But all of the education walks down there in Austin, and most of the conservative leaders in particular, want to see education reform married to school finance, and those two kind of march hand in hand through the legislative session. I don't hear a whole lot of coalescence around any particular concept at this point, and in my opinion, they are not any closer to an agreement now than what they were when they left the last special session. In fact, of the three main leaders, of the Speaker, Lieutenant Governor, and the Governor, there continues to be a divergence of opinion as to where we are in Texas right now, and none of the three of those guys are on the same page. So going into a 30-day special session, you really need to have your ducks in order, and it's going to be a tall order for them to be able to pull that off. Interim hearings have begun on the House side. Speaker Craddock has issued interim charges. It's interesting that they don't have interim charges for the Senate side yet. And we don't know and have not heard any rumors as to when they're going to go. It is now January of 06. We have 11 months, if they're issued tomorrow, to do the interim charges for the Senate side. So I'm not sure what's afoot with that, but it's very odd. On the implementation side from last session, I think I can report to you now, we've gone through a pretty good process with the staff. I feel comfortable that we have accounted for everything that passed that's substantive that might apply to BRA and have in place either some type of policy or some type of there's one instance where we may get some plans for some MUDs. It was an obscure provision that was placed in some local bills that were passed for Williamson County that we may have to account for. Other than that, I think the BRA is current with everything that applies to it. I give that to y'all just so you'll know what we've been up to and trying to make sure that the Brazos River Authority is compliant with everything it needs to be compliant with. Now, let's finally talk about Congress for a second. I've already reported to you what happened to us during the funding cycle. We had that one project, Brazos-Navasota, that quite frankly was being finished up. They did not receive some level of appropriations. The other three projects, the West Fort Bend County project, the Graham project, also known as Salt Creek, by the Corps of Engineers, and the Middle Brazos feasibility, which is a big, long, fancy phrase that means we're looking at raising the lakes in the Middle Brazos projects. All of those received some level of funding. Quite frankly, Graham was not going to happen. We were going to have a conference committee, and that project was not going to happen. And thankfully, we had Glenn there working our stuff for us that caught that, was able to get in touch with the right people at the right time, and we were able to get that thing done. It's going to be a fight every session to get that one funded because, quite frankly, it's not on the administration's list of things that we need to do. Even though, from us, from a practical standpoint, it represents one of the greatest liabilities that we have out there, until it becomes a part of the administration's budget request, it's not going to be something that's going to receive a favorable impression. We're going to have to fight for it every time. This budget cycle that we're now entering into now at the federal side, we're going to ask for dollars for those same three successful projects again, and then we're going to add a project that we've already discussed with you, and that is that Lower Brazos Basin saltwater barrier. We're going to try to get some money for the Corps of Engineers to do a feasibility study for that. This is going to take a lot of years to get done. It's going to take a lot of dollars to get done, but the first step is for the Corps to get authorized and to get appropriated dollars to do a feasibility study on locating one of these on the lower Brazos. In all candor, this is a very, very difficult climate for us to go into. Glenn's going to touch on this in a little bit more detail. We have to understand that it's going to take us several times through this process in all likelihood for us to get this thing done. So just know that going in. That's what we're going to be working. We'll be going back down there this later on this winter. I started to say spring, but February is not spring in Washington, is it? And with that, I'd like to introduce Glimmerman. Glenn's been our consultant in Washington since 2001. We have a great relationship with him. And the good thing about working with Glenn is when we go into offices up there in Washington, the greeting, particularly from the guys that work in the front desk there and control access into those offices, is always a very, very warm welcome, which is good to see when you have somebody that's supposed to be helping you get into those offices. So, Glenn.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. John touched on a lot of the things I want to touch on. If I could just detail them a little bit more. We've been working on three projects now for 4 years, basically the time since I've been with you folks. And the Graham project's coming along. Again, that's going to take some time, but we're already $2.25 million into that project. Middle Brazos feasibility study, we're over $500,000 into that study. And the West Fort Bend County Regional Water System, which is still in a beginning phase, that's a very expensive project, but we're already $2 million into that one as well. So we're looking forward to going to our folks that have helped us out for so many years and continue to work with them and to get these projects funded. That process starts very soon. Again, as John said, our CEO is coming up, and with John and with Steve Pena, I guess, is right. And we're going to do the trip in early February, which is a good time. It's before really it gets really busy up there, and I think we'll get some good meetings with some members and cover all our bases. I'll leave it out for questions. I don't want to take too much time, but it's a mess up there in Washington right now. And leadership races are going to be held on the 31st. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and right now we have three candidates that are running for majority leader. One claims to have votes, but he doesn't have a list to show anybody. So I think it's going to come down to an actual vote. There's going to be many, many, many people undecided walking into the room for this particular vote. They all have their different pluses and minuses. Mr. Blunt from Missouri is the one who's claiming victory now. He's part of the original machine that's there, which a lot of people have a lot of questions about and question whether a complete change is necessary. If he runs and wins majority leader, that opens up his existing post, which is majority whip, of which there's two other players, Todd Tehart from Kansas and Mike Pence from, I miss it, A very conservative member of Congress running for majority whip against Eric Cantor, who is now chief deputy whip, which is another leadership spot. So it's going to get messy up there. They may, in fact, this hasn't happened yet, but the conference, when they all come back, they're all scattered around the globe literally right now. When they all come back, they might end up trying to confirm the entire Republican slate for majority leader on down. That's not clear yet whether that will happen, but it seems like there's almost a necessity rather than just try and fill one spot. It might be better just to reconfirm the entire slate and allow some of those other offices to come up. With that, that's really all I have. It's been an honor and a privilege to represent you all up in Washington, D.C., and look forward to working in the future. So if you have any questions, I can answer them. I can stick around.
Question, anyone?
Leadership,
thank you very much, John. Does that conclude you as well?
Yes, sir.
Lynn, thank you very much. This time I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the Public Affairs Committee.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.